All right, the recorder is on. And yeah, we're at NTI James 3, which I have at page 422. How about you guys?
422.
I got a message. I never know how many NTIs have sold because I just don't pay attention. I don't even know for sure if there's a way I can look it up if I wanted to. But I got an email today from the publisher, and he said it's over 6,000 copies.
That you sold.
Yeah, that's been sold so far. He said they're going to start marketing it more now that when a book sells that much, he said then they put more resources into it. So, but yeah, it's sold over 6,000 copies. So, that takes us to NTI James chapter 3. Be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. Be aware of the goal you have chosen and hold it as a beacon before you in all things. Let all decisions be guided by the light, and you teach yourself consistently that you are the light. So just before I turned on the recorder, Francine told us a story about how she was sitting and being with feelings like guilt or the I am bad thought. I don't know if it was guilt or was it unworthiness more, maybe?
The I am bad thought.
And also sitting with the fear thought. And so as soon as I read that sentence, be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself, I thought that's really what Francine did. Because Francine was, even though these feelings are not pleasant feelings, Francine was telling herself, this is good. You know, I'm not free yet. These feelings have to come up. This is good that this is happening. And that's what this is talking about, being a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. You know, also Priscilla was talking about how it's very helpful to her to accept what is when she remembers that everything is here for our healing. And again, that's being a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. So that's what James is asking us to do here. Be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. Be aware of the goal you have chosen and hold it as a beacon before you in all things. Let all decisions be guided by the light, and you teach yourself consistently that you are the light. Your thoughts seem to be the foundation for your decision and your action. But even more, your thoughts are derived from your conscious desire. Be therefore aware of your true desire within the consciousness of your mind. Keep it before you, and true desire will easily lead you to the point you desire to reach. So this starts off by saying your thoughts seem to be the foundation for your decision and your action. And, you know, most of us think that. We think, okay, I thought about this, I looked at it this way, and I looked at it that way, and after really considering my options, I decided to do this, right? So we think our thinking was the foundation. This is saying that's not exactly true. The real foundation of your action was your conscious desire. So you have to ask yourself, what was my desire? For example, when I was looking at it this way and I was looking at it that way, what was it that I wanted? Like, did I want more money? Did I want respect? Did I want my way because I think I know better than everybody else? You know, or did I want awakening? And see, whatever you want is really what's going to drive your action. In fact, if I want people to respect me, you know, I'm going to look at, you know, how am I going to get them to see it this way and how am I going to get them to think of me this way? And I'm going to be doing lots of thinking and I may come to a decision. But if in the midst of all that thinking, I think, wait a minute, all I want to do is awaken, I'll probably just drop the whole thing right there. All right? So although it appears that your thinking is what leads you to do something, the truth is it's your desire. And so what he's asking us to do is to start questioning our desire. You know, we can start asking ourselves, what is it that I want now? And the first question is an inquiry. Like, what is it that I'm wanting now? You know, I'm sitting here, I feel a little stressed, there's all kinds of thinking happening in my head. What is it that I want right now? And you may see, I want, you know, I want people to respect me or whatever. That's the only thing I can think of right now. I want people to respect me. But then once you've identified that, then you can say, is that what I truly want? And when you ask that second question, you might shift to the heart. I always do. And when you shift to the heart and you shift to your true desire, then you realize, I don't really want people to respect me. I mean, you know, it's fine if they do, but that's not what I want. What I want is awakening. And it allows you to change the way you're being because you shift from a mental want to the heart's desire. So again, your thoughts seem to be the foundation for your decision and your action. But even more, your thoughts are derived from your conscious desire. Be therefore aware of your true desire within the consciousness of your mind. Keep it before you, and true desire will easily lead you to the point you desire to reach. You are the leader of your own awakening, and so you may lead yourself in the direction you truly desire to go. Desire is the foundation from which all else springs forth. Be true to your desire, and it shall lead you truly. Nisargadatta says that the purpose of manifestation, or he calls it creation, the purpose of creation is to fulfill desire. And if we look at NTI Romans chapter 2, it says that the desire that really started this whole world was the desire to wish. It was the wish, but wish is a desire. It was the wish that things were different than it is, right? That desire, wanting to see things different than truth, is what started this whole world. So through desire, everything springs forth, right? But that is also true in awakening. By desire awakening, by desiring truth, by desiring to know thyself, you begin to desire, and you could say it the opposite direction. You begin to desire back toward truth. So although all illusion comes from desire, the path home is desire too. It's just that instead of the desires of the head, you have to get to the desires of the heart, right?
Yeah, because I know when I want the desires of the head, if I stop and go deeper, it, like you said before, it's the desire of the heart is definitely what I want.
Right. And then, yeah, I think I've probably told you all before, I have a Francesca Battistelli song in my playlist that's called Strangely Dim. But what that song is about is, you know, I think I want this, I think I want this, I think I want this. And then the way she says it is, but when I remember you, and she's talking to God, when I remember to you, all those things grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens when we shift to the desire of our heart. The desires of our head grow strangely dim. Mm-hmm. They aren't as important as they were a second ago.
Magical.
Magical, yeah, absolutely. Verses 13 to 16. What is the test that you shall give unto yourself to see if you are currently following the beacon of your true desire? Ask only this: what do I want now? If you find that you want anything other than know thyself, you have also discovered that you have veered off course. Take this moment to reconnect with your truth, and you shall also be redirected in the direction that you shall go. So, you know, if I say, what do I want now? More money, you know. What do I want now? Attention from people. What do I want now? To feel attractive. You know, I mean, it's anything other than, you know, again, this is using the words know thyself, but it could be truth, it could be awakening, but, you know, something in that vein. Anything other than that means that we've gone off course. And so then all we have to do is say, ah, but is that what I truly want? Shift to the heart, and we're back on course in an instant. I mean, it happens in that instant, right? Mm-hmm. Verses 17 to 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace know the harvest of their own heart, and this is the rich reward of heaven. To know thy heart, follow thy heart. To know thyself, to thine own self be true. To thy own self be true. And this is very much just saying the same thing that Priscilla was talking about before we turned the recorder on. It's about keeping your purpose at the forefront of your mind all the time and seeing everything through that purpose. And that's the end of James chapter 3, so I guess we'll go on to James chapter 4. My iPad isn't working so well, but yeah, that is the end. Okay. Back. There we go. This thing is getting old. I think it's about ready to be retired. Thank goodness I have that new fancy phone. Okay, NTI James chapter 4. You always receive as you have asked, but you may not be aware that you are receiving because you do not know what you have asked for. You do not ask from God through the expression of your words or thoughts. You ask from the process of creation through desire, which you give your energy to. So what this is saying is I could, you know, say, oh, I want awakening. Oh, I want purification. But then if what I'm, you know, I say that, that took how long to say that? 15 seconds? But then if all day long what I'm really thinking about is, okay, how can I get people to respect me? How can I get people to think I'm smart? How can I get people to see that I'm right? Blah, 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 blah. What is it that I'm really asking for? You know, I'm really asking for, in short, it may appear that I'm asking for respect, but what I'm really asking for is the illusion of the dream to continue. That's what I'm doing. You're either asking for awakening or you're asking for the illusion of the dream to continue. There's nothing else to ask for. So if all day long I'm worried about what other people think of me, what I'm really saying is I want this illusion to continue, this idea of a me and a them, and a, you know, that's what I want. And so guess what I get? I get more of that. That continues. So again, you always receive as you have asked, but you may not be aware that you are receiving because you don't know what you have asked for. You do not ask from God through the expression of your words or thoughts. You ask from the process of creation through desire, which you give your energy to. Quietness is attentiveness. In the hurriedness of your distraction of the world, you may seem to find many things to give your desire to, but in truth, there is nothing within the world that the Son of God can desire. So this very first sentence, quietness is attentiveness, reminds me very much of a sentence that came later when Laurent and I were together. It came in one of the messages that were given to me and him. It says, the slow way is the fast way. And I think this quietness is attentiveness and the slow way, excuse me, the slow way is the fast way really mean the same thing. They're asking us to be slow and attentive to our own mind. You know, we're taking the Buddhist course now in MPP. Mindfulness would be a great word for it.
Mindfulness.
Be mindful of what I'm thinking. Mindful of why I'm doing things. Pay attention to myself. Through paying attention to myself, I'm going to see when I get off track, and I'm going to query what do I really want, and I'm going to bring myself back. But if I stop being mindful and I just get caught up in the rush of the world, I'll go all day long, all week long, all month long, desiring other stuff, tons of other stuff, and not even notice it.
I think what I asked for yesterday when I was in this bad place too is I asked for honesty. I just really, really wanted to be honest, and I think that grace came to give me some clarity on what that is.
Yeah, it sounds like it from what you told us.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. So quietness is attentiveness. In the hurriedness of your distraction of the world, you may seem to find many things to give your desire to, but in truth there is nothing within the world that the Son of God can desire. Whenever you believe you have given your desire to a thing or circumstance within the world, you must look deeper. What have you truly given your desire to? And I already talked about this a little bit. I guess I got a little ahead of James. But I mentioned that, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I want respect, you know, I want respect, I want people to think I'm smart, I want people to think blah, 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 what you're really saying is I want illusion. Because you can only want two things, truth or illusion, truth or illusion. Whether you're thinking, I want a new car, I want a new romance, I want a better body, I want blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, you're saying, what you're really saying is, I want illusion. Or you're saying, I want truth. And saying I want honesty is a way of saying I want truth, right? I want honesty right now. I want to see clearly. I want to be able to honestly accept this or be with this, or I want to remove the obstacles to love's presence. I want to honestly be only love. I want to awaken. You know, I mean, there's a million ways to say it. But all of those types of desires point in the direction of truth. But all of the head's desires point in the direction of the world or illusion. So whenever you believe you have given your desire to a thing or circumstance within the world, you must look deeper. What have you truly given your desire to? The world is nothing but illusion of thought. It is a fantasy that says, all is as it is not. It is a statement of a thought that is completely false. In this way, the world is an idea that teaches you that you are what you are not. Whenever you believe that you are desiring above all else a thing or circumstance within the world, look closely at what you are asking. You are asking to be taught that illusion is the reality of you. Or in short, you are asking to learn that you are what you are not. So when I'm saying I want people to respect me, right, that's what I desire, well, there has to be a me there to be respected. So I'm really saying I want to believe I'm a me, right? If I'm saying I desire more money, well, there has to be a me there to get more money. You know, if I say I desire a new car, there has to be a me there that wants that car. So again, it's either desiring illusion or desiring truth. Those are the only two real options. Everything else is just kind of a facade. Verses 7 to 10. You need not do more than look at your false desire clearly to see that it is not your desire at all. For you do not wish to know yourself as you are not. It is your desire to know yourself as you are. Let go of false desires because they are not what you want. Hold to your true desire, and the true desire leads you truly to the recognition of you. So again, we were told earlier that quietness is attentiveness, and that in the hurriedness of the world, we get distracted. So really what we need to do is just slow down enough to pay attention to what am I desiring now. Because this is saying, of course, it's talking to people who have made it all the way to N.T.I. James, you know, more than 3/4 of the way through the book. If somebody's made it this long, then they definitely have that desire, right? So it says you know what you really want. But the problem is if you're rushing through life, you're not noticing what's going on. If you slow down enough to notice, look, I'm desiring this, I'm desiring that, then you can also ask yourself, but is that what I truly want? Boom, you'll shift and you'll be right back in an instant, you know. So we just have to be slow enough to notice what's going on with ourselves. Verses 11 to 12. Remember that judgment is the tool that builds illusion. Let go of the desire to judge a desire that may be false. Even this desire is a desire to learn illusion. So the desire to judge is not a desire that is true. Now this, of course, is speaking to anyone who's going to judge themselves for desiring in the world. So you know, and a lot of people will do this. You know, they'll learn a lesson like this. They'll see the clarity of it while they're learning the lesson. And then a day or two later, they notice that they're desiring, you know, a romance. They're desiring more money. They're desiring a better house. And then they judge themselves. And that's not the lesson. This isn't telling us to judge ourselves for desiring. It's saying, notice that you are, and then ask, is that what I really want? You see, it's two different things. And so this is pointing out, don't go judging yourself for desiring. That's not helpful. Just notice that you are, ask what you really want, and shift. That's what's helpful. Verses 13 to 17. Trust in your true desire and let it lead the way. It will guide you as to what you are to do. You need do nothing, but continue to ask for that which you truly want. It is the process of God that will answer, because it is the process of God that is you. So again, if we just keep remembering our purpose, hold our purpose in the front of our mind, literally the world is going to manifest in order to help us awaken, because the world is going to listen to our desire. Remember, desire is the thing from which all else springs forth. So if we're desiring illusion, that's what we get. But if we're desiring truth, that's what we get. And the whole world responds to help us awaken. So NTI James chapter 3 and NTI James chapter 2. Now, of course, we're going to have a really long break now. We're taking 4 weeks off, right? We're gonna come back on January 6th, we saw. So we have a long time off. So a good lesson would probably be, whenever we notice we're desiring something, to go ahead and ask that question, is that what I really want? And try shifting. And just try to get really, really good at staying with the desire of the heart by asking that question and shifting. Does that sound like a good assignment?
Yeah.
We could do that all through the holiday season. So I'll stop the recorder.